One of them, they supported what we did and our decision that we've been making with the 25-75 on the first one and then 100% commercial on the other one. They supported that. And then we have another one. And those, when it comes into play, the other one they did not find for us, State Tax Commission. But what comes into play a lot of times is that if the owner is residing in the property and then also rents it out, that's different than if you have a residence and then you have separate other properties. And keep in mind that some of the law also is talking about when in the zoning area, when they're trying to reclassify somebody where somebody has long-term renters or other types of renters, and for zoning purposes, subdivisions are trying to determine whether they want nightly rental or not. So they make those decisions for zoning purposes and not necessarily tax. It's not necessarily applicable to the tax area. But in any event, you have a very articulate argument, and we've heard from a lot of people. There's another lawyer here sitting in the room today who's given us several arguments as well along the same lines. We've just tried to take a common sense approach. And I want the other board members to comment if they want to here. But what we have done in common ownership, I mean, if you and your husband, you know, have separate trusts that own these, we would probably classify that, or I would classify that as common ownership. So from the standpoint of what we have done in the past, to be consistent, we would allow you to pick which one, which I assume would be the more expensive one, to be a mixed use and 25% commercial and 75% residential, and then on the other property, which would be BOE 228, owned by your trust, that would be 100% commercial in accordance with our past decisions. And as you probably heard, much of our decisions have gone to what is the property being used for? Is this a commercial enterprise, such as, you know, I mean, just like anybody else who rents a room, whether it be hotel or anything else. That's kind of the way we've looked at it. And like I said, we did have a tax commission out of this county, a tax commission decision that did support that. So,
go ahead. There was one that didn't support it as well, right?
That one had to do with he sold his other one in the meantime, so they determined it was not 100% commercial anymore. It was a mixed use. So that's basically okay. What happened in that one. So he had two. And that one had been 100% commercial, but in the meantime, he had sold the other one, so they changed it to mixed use, like what we've done here. And then there's another decision, which not out of our county, where they have a St. Louis decision, the Rimey decision. They did it based on self-reported nights. That's how they divided it up. But in the event, do you have any more questions? I just wanted to tell you kind of be consistent with what we've done. Do you need more?
I understand, and I heard you explain that several times.
I bet you have.
I do understand it, but to me there is that ambiguity. And, of course, not being a lawyer, I really don't understand the difference between the zoning and the classification. Things that I'm is that, you know, this is zoned residential. And I happen to, of course, it works in my favor, I take the position that these are not commercial enterprises in the same way. Just because they make money doesn't mean that they come under that classification of commercial. They're not selling goods and services to anyone. And, you know, I also have this issue about this dramatic increase to 100% commercial in 1 year. I mean, those are crazy numbers. And, you know, they really, and I think that a lot of people think, you know, oh, these things generate so much money. The expenses are enormous.
Yeah, we certainly understand, and I did want to address the increase issue. Unfortunately, they don't really give us much power as a board here to deal with hardship issues. The state has some programs, but they don't give us much to deal with dramatic increases as long as the value is not above market value. And so that's, in other words, when you were talking about the gradual approach, they really don't give us a lot of power to do that. Now, I don't know, and maybe the assessor can speak to it, as to why in this particular case there's a dramatic increase. Was the property assessed the same value for several years? What's the deal here? I don't know.
On this
And I'm in the boat with a lot of people who said, you know, they haven't owned it for a long time.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's not like we've been paying really low taxes. And I just question, if you have the authority to say 2575 and decide which property and all of that, why you wouldn't have that authority to, and I'm not claiming a hardship, although I have heard people before you who have been.
Sure.
But just to make this a little more tenable.
Yeah, and I believe me, we feel you. And we've had a lot of people in here with the same things. I don't know if the board has any other questions or anything, but I put, you know, at this point, we don't, to my knowledge, we don't have that power. We hope that the courts or somebody will give us, you know, some final direction. Maybe they'll make a rule statewide, since nightly rental has become such a booming business. You know, hopefully we'll eventually get a solid answer, but right now we don't have it. And so we're just trying to do the best we can with it.
Probably
right,
best.
I'll accept whatever you're saying, but I do hope that there are people working toward that next level.
Oh, there are. There are lobbies on both sides.
Probably best if the assessor would answer that question as to the change in the assessed value dramatically.
Yeah. We do want to know about what the dramatic increase on this one.
On this particular one, we're talking about
both of them.
Chateau Cove.
Okay, so let me look at Chateau Mountain.
It's not the valuation that was given to the property that's the issue. It was the transition to 100% commercial that resulted in that giant increase. So I'm not, contesting that necessarily, the valuation. Okay. I'm just saying, how could you just go from whatever it was last year to 100% commercial this year when it resulted in such a 300 and 400% increases?
Okay. So I want you to know, I truly agonize over these things because I see these happening and I ask myself, would I want this happening to me? But I don't. In a lot of these cases, there's just no way around it. You really can't do it fractionally because, as you said, what the board is trying to do is give people a break on their first one. But then we have a lot of people changing hands. I know from a company that's trying to sell us a program to locate these that we have 6,000 nightly rentals in this county. And so for me to figure each one by how many nights rented, or it's just not attainable. Also, like everywhere else, the assessor's office has difficulty finding enough help to do all the assessment. People realize that. And so we just have to start doing sections at a time. In this case, we concentrated on the Hollister School area and also on these, they call them Verbo lodges, because we were trying to make sure that everybody was assessed kind of equally so that they, like your neighbor, your next door neighbor wasn't assessed lower than you. And so again, there's no magic formula. I will tell you, you were very much under assessed for a while. And so you got a break from the county because the statute.
Your previous owner did.
Well, or the previous owner.
Yeah.
Because
the previous owner was owned it in the home. She didn't rent it. She was owned it. It was a completely residential. She lived there.
Right.
So here's kind of the scary one. This statute, 53.030, this is the oath for the assessor. And it's every assessor shall take an oath. And it kind of goes on. You can read it for yourself. But it says, I'm supposed to assess at what I believe to be the actual cash value of your property. And I'm thinking, you know, in your mind, you don't have to say anything out loud, but you know how much that property is worth. You know how much you paid for it. My guess is I'm under that. Now, on that one, you did mention that you bought it earlier, but again, I have to equalize it out with the neighborhood. And so there's no way to do that.
I'm not alleging any, you know, malicious intent. And
sure.
I'm not contesting the valuation. I understand your role to the valuation. It's the classification.
Right.
It's the classification.
But what we did.
And moving from.
Right.
I don't know what the percentage was last year. I'm sorry. I just wasn't seeing enough attention.
So what we used to do.
$5,000 to $16,000,
okay.
Whatever that specification was, could there not be a gradual transition to
Let me tell you why we couldn't. Again, 6,000 nightly rentals. The previous assessor was sending out paperwork, which, you know, postage has gone up, and he was asking people for how many nights they rented. When I came into office, because he left a year early, I was getting all these notices from people where they had said they'd filled out the paperwork, and they had said they were renting, let's example, 82 days. And then right before the end of the year, they call in and they wanted an abatement because they only rented for 80 days. So they wanted an abatement for 2 days, which is very little. We're talking less than a $5 difference. We'll multiply that out, and you've got thousands. And there was just no way. We had to go with one size fits all on classification.
With respect to this, I mean, I think we've probably gone through the. I mean, if she, I'm assuming, answered it. I mean, you're not questioning valuation; it's just questioning the classification. Is it okay with you if we go ahead and make our motion in the case, or is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, if you have 6,000 nightly rentals, and I'm not, you know, saying that this is not, you know, a very daunting.
Sure.
But you must be getting, you know, a tremendous increase of tax payment. Does it fall within the legal limits of, you know, we can't.
Well,
I don't know.
We don't deal with the levy. Because the levies can go down. Because if they, the way I understand it, they set a budget, and if they've hit their budget, which, you know, obviously if you've had a marked increase in appraised values for that particular, such as Hollister School, and they hit their, and so it hits their budget, then they can adjust that levy down because the schools are about 90% of the levy, is my understanding. The increase that is 13% from residential to commercial may not be a 13% increase on your tax bill. So, I mean, we don't control that, but that's my understanding.
Yeah, and I really feel like my questioning and my distress is over the classification, and the subject keeps getting changed back to valuation, which is not what I'm questioning.
Sure.
So I just.
But it does affect how much you pay, if commercial to residential.
Yeah.
So, and because if there wasn't any change, if there wasn't any difference in commercial and residential, we wouldn't have this argument. So, it is a question of whether it's. I understand the classification, but it's an increased cost to you.
I would make a recommendation that you make a motion, and then she will receive that in writing. And if she wants to take it up with the Missouri Tax Commission, she can.
Sure. And like I said, hopefully we'll get an answer one of these days. But I would go ahead, and there's two properties here. I would make a motion as to BOE 228 that we classify it as mixed use, 25% commercial, 75% residential.
No, that's her cheaper one.
Oh. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah, I will scratch that last motion. Thank you. As to BOE 229, which is the Chateau Mountain manner, which is the more expensive property, I would make a motion to class.